Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here in my office, taking on yet another CRC position statement.
Two of them, actually.
And actually two. The next one in the alphabetical order is Bible colon authority.
Okay.
And the one right after that, it is Bible colon inspiration and infallibility. Mm-hmm. And we thought since they were both different parts of a position statement on the Bible, we would just take them both.
Yeah, let's do them together.
And we're going to actually take them in backwards order, because if we can establish that the Bible is an inspired word of God and infallible, the step to its authority will be an easy one.
Self-evident, right? Mm-hmm.
So this is the CRC position statement on Bible, colon, its inspiration and infallibility. It says, Holy Scripture. This is actually the first one that has only one paragraph. Mm-hmm. So one paragraph here, we'll read the whole thing. Holy Scripture, in its entirety, is the written word of God, inspired by God to be our rule of faith and practice. This inspiration is organic, extending to the ideas and the words of Scripture, and is so unique that Scripture alone is the word of God. The human authors of Scripture were moved by the Holy Spirit so that their writing, reflecting their own personalities, language, and style, communicates infallibly God's self-revelation. Belief in the inspiration of Scripture, required by Scripture itself and by our Lord and His apostles, is indispensable to Christian faith. The infallibility of Scripture is inferred from inspiration, and the inspiration of Scripture secures its infallibility.
Okay.
This needs, you're going to hate me for this, unpacking.
Okay, what needs to be unpacked?
It's just, there's a lot here. And some of these sentences with its many commas make it hard to understand what's going on.
Start with the first statement. Holy Scripture, in its entirety, is the written word of God. Right?
Yep.
So that's a statement. That's a declaration. Why? It's inspired by God to be our rule of faith and practice. And then it explains inspiration a little bit.
What does it mean that inspiration is organic?
I'm not even sure what that means.
This inspiration is organic, extending to the ideas and the words of Scripture. Does it mean that we don't get to call down inspiration like you see in some cults especially?
Yeah. It's,
where there's one person that has this special access.
We can't invoke the Holy Spirit to do as we ask. The Holy Spirit worked on God's behalf through these people in an organic way.
That's maybe, I think, what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
And is so unique that Scripture alone is the word of God. Amen. I don't think we have any issues there. The human authors of Scripture were moved by the Holy Spirit so that their writing, which reflects their own personalities, language, and style, communicates infallibly God's self-revelation. What does that mean? Communicates infallibly God's self-revelation.
I think the important thing to understand here is that because it's a God-initiated thing, that Him working through the Holy Spirit, through these human authors, is communicating the message that He wants to communicate to humanity. He's revealing Himself as He sees fit, and since He is sovereign, since He is in control, we don't have to question whether that was perverted by the human authors.
Mm-hmm. Infallible means not false, right?
Yeah, infallible, inerrant.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's saying it communicates with no falsehood who God is.
Right.
Because God's the one telling us.
Right.
So if we believe that God inspired the writing, and it tells us about God, and God's a truth teller, mm-hmm. well, then there can't be falsehood in it, because it's God telling us about God.
Right.
It should be an easy step. It's not men telling us about God.
That's a good logical argument. True.
Continues on, belief in the inspiration of Scripture, which is required by Scripture itself, because Scripture tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed.
Never passes away.
Yep. Required by Scripture itself and by our Lord and His apostles, is indispensable to Christian faith. I think we've seen that not be the case in some Christian traditions, where they've said the canon is open, that Scripture needs constant reinterpreting, or that Scripture is sort of was applicable. Now it's a useful tool, but it's not infallible anymore because culture's changed.
Well, I Yeah. I think that might go more toward the authority question, the authority challenge.
Okay, we'll get there. That's why I think this leads in pretty good. This last sentence, though, here is full of stuff. The infallibility of Scripture is inferred from inspiration. So that's sort of the point I just made before.
Right.
It's infallible because it's inspired.
Right.
And the inspiration of Scripture secures its infallibility. Can you help me with that?
Well, we already talked about it. Because it is God revealing himself through inspiration, that secures its infallibility. Because God is revealing himself through inspiration. And so, therefore, it is communicating what God wants to communicate. Okay. Revealing what he wants to. It's somewhat circular logic, that last
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
But because God is involved, it has to be the case. Because God is the, you know, God is the whole focal point.
If it's inspired, it has to be infallible. If it's infallible, it has to have been inspired.
Sure. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, let's flip over and get authority here, which we've already sort of stepped into, which is why I think this is a good order to take them.
Yeah.
Back to two paragraphs. I'll read the first. The CRC's position statement on the Bible's authority. Scripture, the saving revelation of God in Jesus Christ, addresses us with full divine authority in its total extent and in all its parts. And therefore, the CRC speaks of the Bible as the inspired and infallible word of God. The authority of Scripture is inseparable from the historical reality of the events recorded in it. Interpreted historical events are presented in Scripture not simply as isolated events, but for their revelational meaning. Scripture is self-authenticating. It is not dependent on the findings of science, but these findings may lead to a better understanding of Scripture and must be developed within a Christian community faithful to the authority of Scripture.
So I would say that we did this in the logical progression. Understanding the infallibility and the inspiration of Scripture naturally gives it authority over our lives. Yeah. It is the... It's the benchmark, it's the standard by which we interpret everything else. And science is one of those things that is mentioned. And oftentimes people will pit Scripture against science,
yeah.
but that is a faulty worldview.
I want to get there. First, I want to make a point about authority.
Okay.
Again, if we're saying that this is inspired by God and must be infallible or without any error. Then when it says, what does the Lord require of you? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We take that as without error. That is how we ought to live. Mm-hmm. That's authority. But the argument it makes here is we have to also remember that that's, I don't know, pre-exilic or post-exilic prophecy. So we have to remember the context in which the writing happened and the fact that we have to take all of the Bible, right? So it's a little bit more than just that the Lord requires of us, because we learn about Jesus in the New Testament and how he opens the covenant to the Gentiles and how salvation comes through faith alone and Christ alone. And we learn more the more we understand and read. So the Bible has full authority, and we are mindful to interpret it in context. What it's saying.
Yeah, there's a big danger, and that's why oftentimes in these position statements and in our confessions, it will make reference to the full revelation of God or the Word of God in its entirety.
Right.
Because when you cherry pick different concepts and different verses and build a theology around that, that itself is going to be a faulty theology, because you're not taking the full counsel of Scripture into consideration, right?
Right. It's a little bit like that, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, that we struggled with the gender series.
Right.
That said women will be saved through childbearing. Well, if you cherry pick that verse,
right,
you're moving towards Mormonism pretty quick, that this idea that a woman has to be attached to a man for her to have salvation, and
sure.
the family kind of goes together, but that's not what the rest of Scripture says. So we can sort of unpack what was going on in, I think, was that Ephesus or Pergamum that Timothy was in, and figure out sort of what that means in a better context.
Sure.
And then I want to get to the science thing. And it's interesting that they include it here, but I'm excited to talk about it. It says, Scripture is self-authenticating. It is not dependent on the findings of science, but these findings may lead to a better understanding of Scripture and must be developed within a Christian community faithful to the authority of Scripture. Well, we've seen many times how science has aided the Christian worldview. So things like archaeology, namely, where we find all these cities and these artifacts and the things like the Black Obelisk and other, I mean, even non-Israelite findings that talk about events recorded in the Bible with incredible accuracy. You think of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the unchanging story that we find in all these different versions of the Bible. There's very little differences. You think of things like the more we learn about how perfect the earth has to be for it to sustain life, with the correct degree of tilt and the correct amount of water and the correct amount of oxygen in the air, that there's very few other places we've found that could sustain any life, much less human life. The detail with which we're finding DNA and little tiny things in our body and how much work goes into that, I think that all speaks to a creator. And I think it's funny that, I mean, as you said, we pit the Bible against science when really all science has done is helped us flesh out exactly what Scripture's told us all along.
And here's the problem in my view. I don't know who went there first, but you know, it's not just like secular people pit science against Christianity. There are plenty of Christians who pit Christianity against science too. So we're not absolved of guilt there, right? But it's that's an incompatible worldview.
I find Christians are really afraid of climate science.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we need to be.
That's because many Christians are too aligned, their faith and their political.
Yeah. But let me just articulate this a second.
All right.
Now, some of the science might be bad. You might even think a lot of the climate science is bad. If that's the case, then it's just bad, okay? But if we find that the earth is warming or cooling because of what mankind is doing to it, all that does is affirm what we're told in Genesis 3, that because Adam and Eve sinned, now they will toil with the earth.
Yeah.
Right? God told us, part of your sin is you have destroyed this good earth. So if science were to come back and say, hey, guess what, mankind, because of your greed and consumerism, you're destroying the earth, I would say, yep, we heard that in the first three chapters of the Bible.
Right.
It shouldn't be a scary thing to us, but we so often have said, science, bad, keep it away, when really, science fleshes out what Scripture's told us from the very beginning.
Yeah, we should never be afraid of science.
Last paragraph. Biblical studies must be done carefully, with emphasis on what Scripture itself says, and without the use of interpretive methods that exclude or question the event, character, or revelational intent of biblical history, and thereby compromise the full authority of the Word of God. That's a long sentence.
Yeah. In essence, what that's communicating, I think, is that you can take a Christian, and a Christian has the ability to interpret the Bible through a Christian worldview with the enlightenment, the illumination of the Holy Spirit as a believer, and that is an honest and true way of interpreting Scripture. You can also have a secular person coming at it from a secular worldview, darkened of mind, as Romans would say, and that person can interpret Scripture in such a way that it's not going to reflect its authority. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example of what it would look like to question the event character. I think maybe people who push back on the story of Jonah, maybe, and say, look, a guy couldn't live in a whale for 3 days. I'm questioning the character of that event.
Sure.
And we're saying, no, the Bible says that that's what happened. I'm thinking of Malcolm Gladwell's
TED Talk on David and Goliath.
Yeah. That we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And kind of explaining away the mystery there and saying, well,
in essence, it says, well, Goliath was actually the underdog because potentially he had these problems and he was ill-suited for the kind of fight that it ended up being. And so David was actually the favorite to win that, which completely, you know, when you take that story out of context and when you dissect it like that, you're taking it out of the context where Scripture very explicitly says that, you know, it was through God's strength and, you know, David by himself was the underdog in that battle. Yeah. And God, you know, used the situation to bring salvation, not only to David, but to all the Israelites, right?
Yeah. I think those are examples of questioning the event character. It's a weird way of saying, I don't know that could have happened that way. Well, yeah. That's the way the Bible describes it, right?
Sure.
So we need to take it in context, of course. But we also need to take the Bible as authority.
Right. And it tells us something about God.
Yes. It continues, freedom of interpretation within the bounds of Scripture and of the creeds is to be respected. The authority of Scripture is to be believed and confessed as an article of faith and is to be consistently applied and practiced in the life and ministry of the church. So keep interpreting. Keep finding ways to apply it to your life.
But, you know, we're talking about the authority of Scripture. And plenty of churches have done this. If you compromise the authority of Scripture, you have just thrown out your foundation.
Yeah.
What else do you believe? What else are you going to go by? Your own emotions? How you feel about different issues? Are you going to let, you know, whoever's in power in any given situation or context tell you what's right and wrong? What do we have if we don't have God's revelation of himself in his word? Yep. We have nothing on which to stand.
That's another thing we talked about in the gender and sexuality series, is we've watched the world reject what the Bible has to say about sex and say, no, we don't need that. We can figure out sex and sexuality on our own. Well, now with the Me Too movement and all these horrible, horrible things that have happened to men and women without consent, where they've been when abused or hurt, mm-hmm. Now we're saying, oh boy, maybe we shouldn't have run so far with this and rejected our moral code, but we don't know what moral code to take on anymore because we've already rejected Scripture in the world. So what rules do we go by and who gets to make those up and,
right.
And by what, where do you start drawing lines if you don't have the Bible's authority, if you don't give the Bible full authority?
Yeah, you have no foundation.
You have no foundation. Unless you find it in some other book or religion, then you have some authority. I'm going to tell you now, it's not going to be life-saving authority.
Right.
But you need something to go by. You can't go by nothing.
Right.
Or the world is chaos.
Very true.
I just want to go back to the first line of this one. It says, Scripture, the saving revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And I think that's worth remembering, that the Bible isn't just a moral code. It isn't just a list of historical events. It isn't just a telling of how the world was created. But it is, in its entirety, the saving revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And that's where we hang our hats here, and I hope you all do too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Okay.